Welcome back. Is your head spinning? Yeah, I know they're not that easy to understand. But at least you have a basic understanding of what's going on, right? Because what we're going to do now is we're going to finish up by taking a look at employee stock options, which you never know, depending on where you go in this great land of opportunities and positions that you acquire, you might be offered employee stock options. And so let's get started on slide 43. Employee stock options are options granted to an employee by a company, giving the employee the right to buy shares of stock in the company at a fixed price for a fixed time. They usually have some very significant differences from normal options, and they're always call options. There's no put options. That wouldn't make any sense. That would mean you were hoping the company you're working for is failing. They usually expire in many years. You can't sell them to anybody else, and there's a vesting period. You have to be at the company for a certain amount of time before the options are yours. If you leave before the vesting period is over, well, then you lose your stock options. During the tech boom of the late 1990s, employee stock options were used extensively to attract employees to startup companies. They're still used quite a bit, especially with new companies, because they don't have to pay anything. They give you something that isn't really worth anything now, doesn't cost them anything now, with the hope, in your case, that eventually they do become worth something later on. Slide number 44. During the 2002 bear market, employee stock options were the subject of much controversy. There's still some fallout and publicity as companies and the Securities and Exchange Commission continue to wrangle over how and even if they should be used. Currently, companies can give employee stock options to their employees and not have to pay anything. They do not reduce the company's earnings. Many companies have agreed to expense stock options. They've agreed to say, okay, we've set aside this money for these stock options. But the problem is, how do you come up with a price for something that is currently worthless? You understand? I mean, it's not worth anything. You can't sell it. It's kind of crazy. To make matters worse, slide number 45, while some people became fabulously wealthy through employee stock options during the internet mania, one of them happens to be John Moores, or however you say his name, of the Padres, and he had a company called Peregrine, which was one of the companies that was involved in the internet boom and subsequent bust. Many other people were socked with crippling tax burdens on worthless pieces of paper when their companies collapsed. What? How could that be, you ask? Well, it has to do with the dreaded alternative minimum tax, the AMT. The AMT does not care if you never exercise the options and hence get to take advantage of what they're actually worth. You still owe the tax on the paper gain, even if you never were able to realize that gain. Now, talk about Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass, fantasy world, insane asylum. That's really bizarre. And some people were literally destroyed by these tax burdens. Unbelievable. Slide 46. Wait a minute, did you ask how do you come up with a price for something that is currently worthless? Yeah, a couple of slides ago I asked that. It's correct. Since many employee stock options are out of the money, remember, out of the money, even if you could exercise them, it wouldn't make any sense for you to exercise them. Or they can't be exercised for another 3 years, or they're both out of the money and they can't be exercised. They cannot be exercised. So how do you put a price tag on something like that? Well, the financial world currently uses a system called the Black-Scholes option pricing model. The Black-Fisher-Scholes, it goes by a couple different names. It may sound very impressive, but in my humble opinion, it's actually very silly. But that's chapter 16, and we're going to ignore that if you don't mind. If we have time in the face-to-face class, we show a film called The Trillion Dollar Bet, and you can get it at the library. It's from the year 2000 or so, 1999, and it talks about the Black-Scholes model and how it was used with a company by the name of large long-term capital management, and they were using derivatives and other types of options and futures and all these other derivatives to make money. They had two Nobel laureates. You know, one of them guys was Marilyn Scholes, and another I'm getting the names wrong, but another two of the Nobel laureates who were responsible for the Black-Scholes option pricing model, and John Merriweather, remember the bond trader from chapter one, and they screwed up royally. They almost brought the system down in September 1998. And folks, it reads like a prequel. It's like a dress rehearsal for the 2007 debacle with the mortgages. It's unbelievable how we could just do it all over again, but this time for lots more money. Yeah. You see, I got a real love of options, don't you? Yeah. Slide number 47. The Black-Scholes option pricing model. You have a stock that's currently selling for $7.50 a share, and you are given employee stock options with an exercise price of $10. So, would you exercise the options? No. You can buy the stock for $7.50. Why would you exercise the option to buy it for $10 when you can buy it for $7.50? Plus, you're not allowed to exercise it for 3 more years. So the Black-Scholes model might say, well, it's worth $2.50 or $1.50 or whatever. Huh? You can't sell it? You can't exercise it for 3 years and it's out of the money. How is it worth $2.50 or a buck or whatever they say it's worth? The stock price might never go over $10, and if you're unfortunate enough to be affected by the dreaded alternative minimum tax, you might have to pay taxes on it. Figure that out. Yikes. Slide number 48. How about stock index options? Well, wait a minute. We've been talking about options on individual stocks, but there are put and call options written on specific stock market indices, such as the Standard & Poor's 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ. It allows an investor to purchase or sell an option that responds to the stock market index as a whole, right? So say you're a mutual fund manager and your portfolio has many of the same stocks in the S&P 500. Well, you can purchase a put on the stock index that represents your portfolio. And so if the stock index goes down, your stock's values are going to go down, but the option will go up, the option on the index. You see, it acts like insurance until it expires, and then you got to do it all over again. Yikes. And there are dozens and dozens of these indices for large, mid-cap, small-cap, domestic, international, regional, country-specific, industry-specific. Look, folks, whether you're speculating or you're hedging, which is a fancy term for insuring against a loss, it is still risky, it is still expensive. My advice, don't do it. Slide number 49. But wait, there's more! You can buy options on interest rates, you can buy options on currencies, you can buy options on these options called, well, slow down, Frank. Slide 49. Interest rate options are put and call options written on fixed income securities, such as bonds, right? Because if interest rates go down, bond prices go up. If interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So you could protect against that. Or you could speculate and guess which way the interest rates are going to go. And the currency options are the same idea, but they're written on foreign currencies. So they can be an important tool for foreign investors and multinational corporations who must periodically convert U.S. dollars to and from other currencies. And we're going to see this in more detail in the next chapter on futures. And then there's these options that are called LEAPS. You know they came up with the word before they came up with what they meant. Long-term equity anticipation securities. And the difference between these and options is that these can be over a year. So I don't know how they got away with that, because options are not allowed to be more than a year, because if they're more than a year, then they have to be registered a whole different way, as if they were a security, a stock or a bond or something like that. Remember, corporate paper doesn't have to be registered because it's less than a year in treasury bills. Well, that's the treasury. Nobody cares about them. Well, actually, lots of people care about them. But still, the idea is you can buy an option that goes more than a year, and I don't know how they get away with it, and I'm not really that interested. If anybody else is interested, please look it up. I'm sure there's an explanation somehow how they are able to get these things to go further than a year. I guess they have to do some special registration somehow with the SEC and says, okay, no problem. Slide number 50, warrants. Warrants? Not for a warrant for your arrest, no. Warrants are like options. They're a long-lived or long-lived option that gives the holder the right to buy stock in a company at a price specified on the warrant. And so they're like a call option. They're always call options. There are no put options, as it says at the bottom of the slide. And how do you get these warrants? Well, they're usually issued by the same company that issues the underlying stock. So it's not really a contract between you and another investor. It's the company that's issuing their stock or their bonds, or they'll give them to employees, and they give these warrants out when they issue more stock, or they issue bonds, or they issue employee stock options as compensation. And so it gives you the right to buy the stock at a certain price, but usually for 10 years, right? Same idea. Unlike options, where each contract represents 100 shares of stock, one warrant represents the right to buy one share of stock. So a company might have a new stock issue. They might need some cash. You know, they're hurting for money. So they issue a whole other batch of stock. At the same time, if you buy their stock, they'll also give you, for every 10 shares, they'll give you a warrant for free. Right? It's a bit of a sweetener to make you happy. Or if you buy their bonds, they'll give you some warrants. And they used to be really popular back in the 1960s and 70s, and they sort of disappeared. But they're still around. You'll still see every once in a while, they say, hey, I got some stock, and they gave me these warrants with them. Yeah, great. Yippee. They sell. And usually, yeah, they're not that exciting. But if the stock does really well, you better believe, right, the warrant's going to do really well, just like a call option. If the stock price goes up dramatically, the warrant's going to go up dramatically. But don't hold your breath. Slide number 51. Final comments on options. You know what I'm going to say, right? Stay away from them, folks. You're almost guaranteed to lose, but the possibilities are endless, and so are the commissions. So if you're a stockbroker, yeah. But wait, folks, let's hear what Optionetics has to say about options. And on the website for you, dear viewers, is a link that will take you to the Optionetics website, where you can sign up for a two-day seminar, which is only $4,495 for 2 days of instruction. Makes it sound like we're charging you hardly anything for this class, doesn't it? And you are going to learn to trade options like a pro and make untold amounts of money. Not my students. Now, I'm picking on Optionetics because they're an easy target, but there are many companies out there willing to separate you from your money to teach you how to do things that nobody else can do, because they know that you know how to do it, because they're gonna have testimonials by people, hardworking Americans just like you, can buy and sell options and make tons of money, and don't worry about the $4,495 that you're gonna put on your credit card, but you're gonna pay that off in a year, in a week, in a month, it's gonna be gone. You're gonna make that much money every week, every day you wake up. Yeah. As I said, yeah, I every once in a while they come to San Diego, and I've done this a couple of times, and people think I'm nuts, and they may be crazy. They may be right, but hey, they usually have their two-hour free seminar. That's 2 hours of berating you why you should take the two-day seminar for $5,000, $4,000. You see, it's usually $4,495, but for you today, only $3,995, and we'll waive the shipping and handling. And I will go, I will find out where they are. It's usually a hotel somewhere in Mission Valley or someplace, and then they do one up in North County. They don't usually get that one. They don't hit the South Bay for some reason. I guess they don't think there's enough suckers there. I will get a big sign that says options are gambling, and I'll ride my bike. I ride my bike on Sundays anyway, and I'll make it so my bike ride winds up near the hotel at about a half an hour, 40 minutes before the thing starts, and then I'll just sit outside the hotel holding up my sign that says options are gambling. And people drive in and look at me funny, and and some people come up and say, did you buy? Are you upset with these people? I said, no, I just want to make sure everybody understands that they're gambling. I wouldn't throw my money away. And what are you? I said, I teach this. I'm a broker, and I don't want people to get ripped off. We already have enough bad press in our industry. Yeah, I know, but that's me. What can I say? Everybody. So maybe you'll do it too, because you care about your fellow man, right? Don't you? And fellow woman? Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. He is crazy. Stay away from options. Enough said. Wait until next chapter when we take a look at futures, because futures are even more dangerous than options. However, unlike options, there is a real reason. There's a real reason for why we have futures. There's a real economic benefit, and they are a tool that really does make sense, in my humble opinion, as we'll see when we get to futures. Okay, folks? All right. Go back over this 2, 3, 4 times. Put it on a CD. Put it on an MP3 player. Listen to it on your way into from work. It's going to sink in. You're going to understand it. You're going to look like a genius when other people say, well, what are these darn things anyway? See ya in the next chapter on futures.